Good morning and welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Yeah, it's amazing. If I call in more than 1 minute ahead, I don't show up in the queue. I wonder if that's happening to anybody else. Here we are.
Here we are.
I'm calling in at 9 from now on.
All right. Our assignment is to notice life's unique capacity simply to witness. No matter what happens, all of life is acceptable to life. However bizarre, absurd, cruel, or ordinary the circumstances, awareness remains unaffectedly serene. Intrinsic purity doesn't appear to be disturbed by emotional upheaval. In fact, the turbulence of encounter and transcend, that is spiritual practice, reveals in us the equanimity of the unconditional. As we practice attending to the equanimity of awareness, also notice the pull to reactivity, attachment, and resistance, not as health states to avoid or bemoan, but simply as a way to reinforce that awareness is aware of that as well. RL. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Uh-oh.
Hi. Sorry, it took me a while to find the button. This is Michaela from Iowa City.
Well, hello. What are you seeing?
So I'm seeing two things, possibly 2.5. I feel that...
Possibly 2.5?
Yes.
I love that.
I got a tailor-made workshop for our assignment this week, in the sense that recently I was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer, and the story was that it catapulted me out of my life into a different sphere, which was reinforced by the fact that 3 days after the diagnosis I was supposed to return to Europe and take a new job and be with other people, and that's all gone now. And what I saw in the context of our practice this week is that the physical discomfort that and the pain that is caused by the therapy and by the treatment and the mental anguish that is just caused in conditioned mind by the diagnosis are actually not radically new in my life. As I sort of feel into both, you know, the specifics of the physical pain and discomfort and the fears that I have, which is what I mean by mental anguish, they are actually very, very familiar from, you know, one decade of my life to the other. So that was the first thing that I noticed, and it was surprising, but also actually a little bit comforting. And then this morning, as I reflected on our assignment, what came to me is there was a brief opening. So this was like a momentary insight that even as I talk about it now, I may already have lost it again. But momentarily, what I was able to see was the truth of something that I think a sentence, Sherry, that you had in the monastery newsletter, which I was reading last night, namely that in spite of where I have lived most of the time these recent weeks, the anguish and the discomfort is actually not a problem in the sense that there is something wrong with me and in my life or with a situation, but it really is It opens up a door that has never been so clearly defined and opened. It opens up a door to the practice of love, wisdom, and compassion, which, you know, is a phrase that I have always used, and it's very appealing, right? To live in love, wisdom, and compassion. Mm-hmm. But it was just like a phrase, and the health insight that I wanted to add is that I was seeing all of this sort of in the 15 minutes before the call started, and I could just see from the corner of my eye ego, conditioned mind, still sitting on the sidelines and still monitoring how I was going to formulate that, you know?
Yeah, wait, that's also comforting, isn't it? That it never quits. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be watching us and monitoring and trying to get something for itself out of whatever is going on with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to realize, it's just such an important insight. I hope everybody listening really hears what you're saying. Because one of the ways that ego can most efficiently throw us into hell is by making us believe that something is new. It's completely new. It's completely different. This is different from any... Now, we could say yes. On one level, we could say yes. You've never experienced an aggressive form of cancer before. You've never been on your way to a new job and then suddenly your whole life goes in a different... The content of it, absolutely, we could agree with, right? But the process, as you're seeing... The process isn't new. That process has been going on probably for as long as you can remember. The story that this is new, this is big, this is real, this is different. You have to, and then ego will fill in how you need to be with this.
Yeah.
Which is usually hysterical.
Yeah. Or very...
Right? And abandon yourself. Basically, you have to abandon yourself because when things are this big and scary and life-changing, then you certainly have to go with ego's panic so that you do the right thing. You can't just sit quietly and be with life. This is an emergency.
Right.
But we can, huh? We can stay with love and wisdom and compassion because where else would we want to be?
Yeah.
If ever a human being needed unconditional love, absolute acceptance, complete permission, it would be now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No room for ego's better ideas and judgments and criticism and standards and shoulds and or egos, oh my God. It's fake shock and horror.
Right. Something that you just said, Sherry, also threw some light on one more story where ego got me, which is a story about my inability to see myself as part of life. So my holding on to a separate identity. And that, too, has been a lifelong beating rod, something that I have been beaten up in other religious practices before I came, to this practice as well. And as I say this, I can see that, so that whatever the word is, cudgel is, you know, still there, but there is a distance between where I am right now in this conversation with you and the things that I hear about how I'm still very deeply rooted in, you know, ego and haven't really grasped that I'm just part of, you know, something much larger and bigger.
That's one of those places that can be really helpful, right? Because, of course, only ego would say that.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one of those we can say, oh, yeah, thank you, you're right. I recognize you, ego. Yes, I recognize that conversation. And thank you for the reminder. I want to turn my attention to love and wisdom and compassion, to the authentic nature that animates, you know, and just launch into where you want to be and what you want to experience until it's really tired. It brought the subject up.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela. You stay close, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Michaela. It's so profound, right, Jerry, that there is no other choice. Meaning there's a way in which we think we can influence circumstances and life and you know, circumstances, and we can't. And so we are forced to discover that love and compassion is the only way we can live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Michaela is saying, you know, we get these lessons all along the way. And we get a lot of information about how life works and what is true. And we you know, it's not a criticism, it's not a judgment, it's just how it is. We listen to ego just go right over the top of that. You know, well, yeah, but that's not me. That's not, you know, even something as obvious as everybody who isn't alive now, who's been born on this planet, is now dead. That's a lot of folks, right, who are just like us, just exactly like us. And so not to, with eyes wide open, face that in every moment of our lives, it is just extraordinary, that level of bamboozle. And, of course, if we do face it, then ego says, well, you know, that's masochistic. That's depressing. That's bizarre. I mean, you don't want to just constantly focus on the fact that you're going to die. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, because in that way you're not going to miss anything. You're not going to postpone anything. You're not going to wait until some other time to be the person you know you can be and live the life that is yours to live. You're going to do it now, because you don't know if 5 minutes from now you'll be dead.
Yeah. It's that place that we it's that continuous ego framing of the negation, right? It says it's depressing to focus on the fact that you could die in any moment. But really, that focus assists us to be alive in every moment.
That's it.
The
That's
focus
it.
Is on being alive in the moment, not being dead
right.
in the moment. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well stated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do I want to be so absolutely here? Well, because in 5 minutes I might not be. I don't want to miss this.
Exactly.
Are you nuts?
Yeah. All right, so here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. This is Christina in Southern California.
Hey, Christina. What are you seeing?
Let's see. I was seeing something a little bit, feels different, but it's just this place of acknowledging this week that I have been really, like on a war path to finding peace and equanimity and really the perfect life. And to be confronted, you know, head on with a situation where it doesn't fit in the external standards that would, you know, that I believe is nirvana or is heaven, then it's somehow something that just has to be dealt with. And to look, you know, and I guess this is sort of like looking at mortality, but just to look straight, you know, head on into that place of I'm not trying to get in there. You know, I'm not trying to grasp at anything. There's, you know, in some ways, and please, I'm interested in your insight around this, but in some ways, nirvana is an illusion, you know, that trying to get over the wall, you know, to the, you know, to paradise, to Eden, you know, it's the process of being alive, you know, heading to the wall, and you know, like, that's where all of life is, and chasing something other just isn't, it is futile. I don't know. It's just, this is,
yes.
That
is your equanimity. You've accepted it. Finally. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you started with, I'm on a war path. To peace. Talk about a contradiction.
Exactly.
Right? And
right.
So this is the life of School of Knocks, right? School of Hard Knocks. Because until we arrive at a situation which refuses to be manipulated by me, I'm not gonna get that my idea of how it is the illusion.
And are you pointing at not only of my idea of how it should be, but even how I'm perceiving it to be?
That's right.
Yeah.
So the equanimity is a state, the pursuit, the war path pursuit was, I'm going to get over this wall, and it's always going to be bliss.
Mm-hmm.
That's nirvana, right? That's the idea of nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way in which I could get there, right? So no matter what I'm it's first of all there, and then I have to get there. And everything I'm going through in between is what I have to go through to get there. No wonder we don't feel equanimity, because where you got to was eventually, wait a second, there is whatever there is an illusion. Getting there is an illusion. Peace is an illusion. I am faced with a circumstance that I can't affect. I can't be equanimous the way I want to be equanimous in this circumstance. I can't find peace in this circumstance. I just have to surrender to the fact that it's going to be the way it is. Which is the definition of the equanimity that we're trying to get to.
Right.
It is the way it is. That's my sense of, if I'm here accepting what is, there is no confrontation. There is no resistance. There is no butting heads against a circumstance that isn't the way it should be. There's no war. Therefore, there is peace. But it's the peace of being with,
right,
of recognizing the futility that there isn't another nirvana other than this one.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's so simple in its form, and it's such a, it's so difficult to to embody it, I guess, right? Or to,
well,
I don't even know how to describe it.
It is difficult because that's why we keep talking about the illusion of a self separate from life, right? Because it's only when we step out, when we're involved in that object orientation, that we are so blind to the simplicity of it. When that drops, I'm here, I'm experiencing what you're experiencing, I project your experiencing, which is It's almost like it's absurd that I can feel this way, this acceptance, this level of acceptance of a circumstance that otherwise was so unacceptable.
Yeah, and I can see through practicing with this particular content that it can be extraordinarily difficult to be the awareness that is watching it all unfold, you know, for the, you know, and this takes me back to the projection class, you know, with ego talking to this, you know, I don't know, this other being, this receiver, and to just be the one kind of watching all of it. Yeah, I just, when the content is like this, and I know, of course, the first caller, you know, all of us that have been pointing to this, it's just so, I don't know, it's hard to move into that place of, you know, allowing, I guess, awareness to to be the experience.
Yes. Well, and I was just writing about this morning, you know, Christina, because it is hard. It is difficult. It is challenging. It feels almost unfair, right, that the design is such that our trajectory is from ignorance to realization through an extremely hard process.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But as we do it over and over and over again, that's where we acquire that sense of something beyond the zone of annihilation that the way of transformation is pointing to. That it's not that you have to be perfect in it, right? Which is what the conditioning would say. I have to dissolve all of my ideas of how it has to be. And so the more crystallized those notions are, the harder it is to dissolve. Yes, that also we have to accept as the inevitability of our life unfolding. And so, yeah, it is hard. So I can't affect that trajectory either. In some sense, I can't affect it in some sense of the word, but with the awareness that grows is, my other choices are becoming less and less less and less effective. I can't do this and I can't do this and I can't do this. Okay, so what can I do? Okay, I surrender. I just have to be with this. I have to be with this, and I keep getting, the information I keep getting is awareness is equanimous regardless. My job is to train to have attention on the equanimity that already is, rather than have attention on something that believes it needs to be acquired.
Yeah. Oh, this was so helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina.
You know, we don't often talk about it in this way because this is a practice based in Buddhism, but, you know, kind of a simple way to say what we're talking about is we're not going to choose God as long as ego seems to be working.
Yep, exactly.
Now, we could say that to surrender completely to the divine, to that which is, to our authentic nature, to, you know, however you want to talk about that, is nirvana. It is bliss, and it is true that it is possible to experience that in this plane of existence. That's what, you know, that's what the Buddha, that's what Jesus, that's what, you know, the list is long of people who said this is what this is really about. And we, of course, identified with ego say, yeah, no, no, because I want what I want. I don't want what God wants for me. I don't want what the intelligence that is me wants. I want something different. And so it is a brutal process of recognizing ego for what it is, because it seems so like me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, all of us doing practice know that in those moments where there is well-being and joy and all of those kinds of experiences, nothing in life is any different in those moments. It's just that we're not identified with ego. So when we say our authentic nature, we all know what that is. Do we experience it as ourselves all the time? No. But it's not, nobody says, well, I mean, people would, but they wouldn't be doing this practice. Nobody says, well, I don't think there is any such thing as an authentic nature. Okay? People know what that is. And when we use synonyms like kindness and compassion and caring, expansiveness and generosity and gratitude and love and the when we use those words, people know that experience. And that's what we're talking about, right? It's we're going to face everything that we are choosing other than unconditional love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that unconditional love and acceptance is a synonym for bliss. It is, which again, our heroes keep pointing out to us. And it's just how it is that we are going to, as Joko Beck said, you know, we don't let things go, we wear them out. And so we're going to drag this ego around until, as you say, you know, well, that's not working. And finally, you know, I look back and there's just nothing left at the end of the little rope that I'm dragging around. We look around and realize, wow, happy. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with life. There's nothing wrong with anything. We're just waking up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it seems that if it doesn't happen in this form, then it happens in the next form. that seems to mm-hmm. be the other thing, right, Cherry? I mean, it's...
There's also that rumor. Yep.
That's it. There's also mm-hmm. that rumor. Well, mm-hmm. this was such a profound show, Cherry. We have only 2 minutes left, so I'm hesitant to bring another caller caller on.
I agree. Yeah. And so maybe this is just plenty for us all to look at, and to with the two folks that we got to hear from today. You know, looking at those places in our lives where we have a lot of information that voice in our head is not taking us in a good direction, where there's negativity and unhappiness and blame and judgment and standards and self-hatred. And yet we cling to ego's belief that if we were different, if we were different, then none of these things would be happening. In reality, if ego weren't running the show, none of these things would be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Would circumstances be what circumstances are? Well, that's a really interesting one, and it's one that people talk about a lot. You know, we had it just the other day, you know, with somebody talking about being in horrible physical pain. And for a moment, there's that flash of realization that, but I don't have to suffer over this. Yes, there's awful physical pain, but I don't have to be miserable over this. Okay, that's where we're going with this. Our circumstances, what ego says they are, well, we have to get to presence. And then we look and see what circumstances are. As long as we're believing ego's assessment of circumstances, we're going to suffer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Cherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.